This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And it seemed that someone on Sunday wanted to cast aspersions. Some have since kind of walked it back over the last couple of days.
Now, did they walk it back because they had more time to think about the accuracy of their comments, or were they like, we have to play football in front of these guys. We might not like them and their reaction.
Probably a little bit of both.
We can't have it be this adversarial.
Yeah. Well, again, you have to be, like I said earlier, if you try to go after the fans always win. There's like one guy who's ever kind of sort of gone after the fans and sort of won. And even in the end, that was a stalemate. That was LeBron. Everybody else, no, you ain't going to win. Especially when you're 1-6 and you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Actually on the field very much. Like, you might win a few more games. Hopefully you win some more games. But I right now, that's probably up for debate for a lot of people. I think a lot of people might like him to lay down. I won't, but, you know, a lot of people would. When you're not going to win a lot of games on the field, it's like, well, you better not take aim at the fans. You better not do that. Like when Shelby Harris... Do we have more context to this clip? Do we have more? We have this longer clip of Shelby Harris.
Why don't you think the clip speaks for itself?
I don't know.
I heard it.
I think it does. I heard the 30-second clip. I didn't like it. I didn't think it added much context. So we got about a minute and 20 seconds over here. You want to play the minute and 20 seconds?
Well, we better get to it.
All right. Here's defensive tackle. And then I'll get to I might get to the Vrabel stuff coming up soon after 9 o'clock here because I got a weird theory for everybody. Here's Shelby Harris on his podcast, We Are the Harrises, on Guerrilla Sports.
It's not good to cheer for people being hurt. I also think fans are able to cheer when there's a change and thinking, hey, maybe this money that I've spent will be worth and we'll see some production. Hey, DTR can play now.
Yeah, so, but that wasn't what they were cheering for. The minute he went down grabbing his ankle, that's when the cheers came out. Mm. It had nothing to do with, oh, a new quarterback. They were cheering against this man. And that was the disgusting part about it. I get it. Everyone thinks, okay, a change will help fix the offense and maybe things will be different. But no, you cheered happily because the man got hurt. Had nothing to do with, okay, yeah, we're going to have a different quarterback. Because, yeah, there's been chance asking for Jameis or DTR. But the cheer because that man got hurt, that was the ugly part. Fans are allowed to express their feelings. Think about how it makes the other players on the team feel when someone else, one of their brothers is out there on the, like, giving it their all and he gets hurt and you hearing cheering from the fans. Imagine how the team feels about the fans when you start hearing cheering for when their brother's down in pain rolling around. It's bigger than football sometimes. It's bigger than football. And I think the fans got to realize you lost a lot of the players that day because we stand for our brothers, obviously. We stand for them. As fans, we expect we get it. Like I said, the year's not going the way we expected it to go, but there has to be a human aspect to it. And I feel like that's what was lost on Sunday.
Because I only heard 30 seconds of that, and I didn't hear the beginning of that. And I immediately, I know how I react, and I reacted in a way when I first heard it. I looked at my phone last night, and I looked and I go, where do you get off saying we lost you? Where does that happen? No.
Well, do you agree that it should be bigger than football?
Yeah.
Do you think those fans were treating it bigger than football at that point.
No. No.
Right? Like, they just, the fact is,
no.
Like, if Watson was really good, would they have been doing that? Would they have been booing? And if the Browns were really good?
No.
They wouldn't have. Regardless of what he'd been accused of. We know that. We know how fans work in sports. We know what fans in Pittsburgh think of Big Ben when he won a Super Bowl. We know what fans in Baltimore think of Ray Lewis when he won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We know what Laker fans thought of Kobe Bryant because he won NBA Finals. If any of those guys were really bad at what they did or were on losing teams, I think it'd be a different story. I think you'd have a much different story to tell about all of that. So, yeah, I mean, we're hypocrites. We are. We care about winning. And what he is arguing there is it shouldn't be just about winning. Like, you should have some decency for the human element here. And I think that's just hard for fans that pay a lot of money, get liquored up, go into that stadium, worry all week about whether you're going to get a win or a loss. I don't think they see those players.
But my point is still 4 days.
I don't think they see them as human. I don't. We talked with Rodney about this.
If you're not going to see the fans as human, then they're not going to see you as human.
No, I don't think the fans see the players as human.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
I don't think they ever do, especially in that sport.
No, I think that they take – I think now, yes, in a lot of ways, you're right. I think that there are certain players, and I brought this up with Rodney 2 days ago, is that there are certain people that they let behind the wall. Nick Chubb is one of them. Miles is one of them. A couple of others. And then everybody else, it's like, well, as long as you win, we'll be fine. Like Greg Newsom, if he walked down the aisle at a grocery store right now, I think people would be perfectly fine with Greg Newsom. But if Greg Newsom goes out there and he's dancing and he just gets burned right after, well, people are going to have nasty things to say about
it. Well, it's the identity thing. We always say Doug Deacon is a great example. Like, we identified our fathers, our parents, our grandparents, they identified with Doug Deacon in a way that are you really ever going to identify with Deshaun Watson?
No.
Or even Myles Garrett, for that matter.
Well, it's
now, Myles has done his best. Like, Myles Garrett, it goes to things that you would never expect to see athletes go to. He takes pictures. He talks to people. He's gained friendships over video games and with Clevelanders. Like, he's done his best to try to be identifiable as much as somebody that size and who's made that much money can be identified with. Like, I know that's not easy.
But I think Miles is one of those guys. For everybody else, like, when Miles said, and I know he said the model citizen part, and that's what upset some people out there. I don't think they really went after Miles a whole lot. But, like, when you have a guy who's a free agent
they pick
saying
Jameis
those things, they don't like it. When you have guys who have been with other teams around the league, they don't like it because they don't see you as part of the fabric of the community. Miles is part of the fabric of the community. He's a guy who can say it. Nick is a guy who can say it. They feel that Nick Chubb can walk into any house in Northeast Ohio and they will serve him dinner right now or breakfast right now. It doesn't matter. He's beloved in this area. Maybe the most liked with him and Jose Ramirez. They can do these things. They can say it. But the other ones? No, man. No. No. It's the same thing as if I were to sit there and I go, all Philly fans are garbage. All Philly fans are trash. All Philly fans have terrible things to say, are terrible people, just root for everything. If they pick up those comments, I'm going to get a bunch of nasty things. Where do I come off as a person who's only been to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania one time in my life? Where do I get off saying those things? And I think that fans feel the same way about players who, for the most part, are traveling mercenaries for them. You select the players you really like. Now, they see it differently, but you can't be surprised when the fans turn around and go, no, 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 no. Most of us didn't do that. Me, Bob Jackson or whatever, I didn't do that. You ain't going to tell me what I can and what I can't cheer. I don't care. I don't go over that. I don't like that type of behavior. I don't condone that type of behavior. You ain't going to tell me, a paying customer, a fan of this team for 50-odd years, who's raised a son, who has a grandson who's a fan of this team, that I was in the old stadium and the current stadium, and I'll be in the new one as well. You ain't going to tell me how to act. That is never going to work. Because, again, there will be other Shelby Harrises. There will be other player X, Ys, and Zs. They'll find the other ones to root for.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.